Hey, it's you, man, from KC95 here. Good evening and welcome to Toasted Tavern. Your host, Scott Tobin, and the man called Wags are ready to bring you the night in sports. So pull up a stool, grab a drink, and let's get toasted.
And good evening. Welcome into the Toasted Tavern. And yes, I know what you're thinking. There's only one of you. What's going on? Uh-oh. Well, unfortunately, Scott's out with a bit of food poisoning tonight, so he's resting up, trying to get himself better and ready to go for Wednesday night, because Wednesday night we're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to spend tonight talking a lot of high school sports, football, volleyball, soccer, getting into high school basketball as well. We'll have Jim Powers on here in just a few moments. Wednesday, though, is going to be a very Cardinals-heavy show, because we've got to talk about the five gold gloves that the Cardinals won over the weekend, the first team in Major League Baseball history to have five players win a gold glove in the same season. So congrats to Paul Goldschmidt, Tommy Edman, Nolan Arenado, Harrison Bader, and Tyler O'Neill, who got his second straight gold glove. So congratulations to those guys. Talk a little bit about Yadi not getting one as well, which would have been six and just an absolute haul for the Cardinals if they were able to do that. Talk a little bit about the people that are up for awards this year as well. You got Dylan Carlson being nominated and being a finalist for the National League Player Rookie of the Year this year, and former Cardinal manager Mike Schilt up for Manager of the Year, one of the finalists there. That's a bit of a tricky subject for sure. So Wednesday night, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll get into the Blues as well. They will be in action against Winnipeg coming up in a couple of days as well. They took the loss last night in Anaheim 4-1, still off to a really, really good start. They're getting guys back from the COVID list. Ryan O'Reilly came back last night, so we're going to start to see those guys start to populate themselves back in as well. So we'll talk a little bit about the Blues on Wednesday night as well. But like I said, tonight is high school-centric because we are in the midst of the high school football playoffs. Just had the volleyball state championships wrap up over the weekend. We've got soccer going on as well. We're getting ready to start basketball season. I know it's crazy to think about that. Basketball season is coming up. But when we talk high school sports, there's really only one name that comes to mind. It's somebody that's been with us multiple times and just an absolute high school guru, and that's Jim Powers. Jim, it's great to see you. It's been a while since we've had you on. So first I'll tell us how you're doing and let us know what you've been up to since we've had you on.
Been up to a lot. No, everything's going great. Everything's been, busy, a whirlwind, so to say, over about the past bunch of months since I've been able to catch up with you guys. So, but the cool thing is, high school sports is back to where it should be. We missed a couple slip-ups here and there during the regular season in a bunch of the sports. But overall, the trainers, the athletic directors, everybody has done a terrific job in making sure that we can kind of see that sense of normalcy. And we've seen it. I mean, down at Cape, I was down at the volleyball championships this past weekend, and it was packed crowds down at the Show Me Center. It was awesome to see. Down at Springfield for the softball championships. And then obviously we've seen it for football as well. Just some big, big crowds. And we're going to see big crowds. And, it's great to see the kids doing what they love to do. And we're crowning state champions. And that's the whole thing. And yeah, you said it. It's hard to believe that we've got four more weeks of football and basketball starts in 2 weeks. And it's just insane how quick the fall has gone.
Oh, it really has. And like you said, it's so nice to just kind of be back to normal. I've gotten a chance to call a lot of high school football games this year, a lot of Lutheran North games, which we'll talk about them here in just a second. They look like they're a pretty good team this year, but it has. It's been back to normal. Crowds have come out, and we've seen the teams that we expected to be there. And we have some incredible matchups coming up here in these district championships at all classes. And, I was talking about with some of the guys that I do games with, the fact that week one we had Kirkwood DeSmet, and then you had DeSmet and CBC last week. Like, you have some really good teams that have been going out early in these districts, but now we're in the finals. And well, let's just start with class three real quick, because like I said, we just talked about Lutheran North. They're going to be going up against Cardinal Ritter this week. North is on a four-game win streak. I saw them and called the game against Bishop Meech a couple of weeks ago. They looked really, really good against them. Cardinal Ritter, the record, don't let it fool you, because they play some really, really tough teams. And yeah, they're 5-6, but this is going to be a really tough matchup. What are you looking for in this game coming up?
I like the matchup. I think it's one of just a terrific amount of games that we're going to see here in the district finals, not just here in the St. Louis area, but I think all around the state of Missouri that we're going to see. But with this matchup, you know, Ritter, you're right. The record does not show what they're about. That, you know, their strength of schedule may be the toughest in the state of Missouri, bar none. You know, but there's one thing that just nags at me with Lutheran North, and that's the amount of points defensively that they've given up. You know, they could score, and they've got a great offense. I'm not 100% sold defensively, and when you get to this portion of the state tournament, and you look to the other side of that bracket, the left side of the bracket, if you're not playing good defense, you're not going to win. And I'm going to be honest, I really think the state champion's coming out of the left side of the bracket. And I'm sure we're going to talk about one of those games here in a second that's on the left side of that bracket. Because I've been saying all along, it could very well be the state championship game between St. Mary's and Valley Catholic in the district final. You know, but Lutheran North, you know, they've done a nice job. I like how they beefed up their schedule. But once again, there's that little thing that just sits in the back of my head, especially when you get into this at this time. The teams that are going to make it through and continue to win are the teams that play solid defense week in and week out. We see it out of Jackson. We saw that run, the run that they've been on for 2.5 years now. CBC this year, their defense is by far the best in the area, no matter what. You know, you look at Valley Catholic, you look at St. Mary's, you look at Rockwood Summit. And Rockwood Summit, to me, in Class 5, it is an X factor because of their defense. I mean, when their defense has scored more points than they've given up to the opponent all year long, that kind of tells you a little bit about how salty Eric Stewart's got those kids playing right now. So, you know, I think Lutheran North wins. But that road gets tougher, and I know Kyle Wagner, they've been working on the defensive side of things. I think it's going to be a great game. They should win. But if they're going to continue to move forward, the amount of yards and the amount of points that their defense has given up has got to come down significantly in order for them to make it to Columbia.
Yeah, and you got to talk about that St. Mary's Valley Catholic game. I mean, this is a game with 18-1 combined record. The only loss for St. Mary's was to an out-of-state team. They've scored 43-plus points in their wins. And then you got Valley Catholic, which just seems to be there every single year. This probably, I mean, we got some really good matchups, but like you said, this is probably the matchup of this weekend between these two teams. I mean, how do you see this one playing out?
Oh, number one, if you're from Valley Catholic, you better show up in South City about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, or you're not going to get a ticket to get in. This is a terrific matchup. And when we saw the districts come out back in early September, and you saw that district, and you saw how Valley was playing, you saw how St. Mary's was playing, you just knew. And then when the last media poll came out, St. Mary's number one, Valley Catholic number two. I mean, you know, a lot of people and talking to a lot of my friends from around the state, everybody is kind of saying the same thing right now. This very well could be the state championship game, but don't sell Park Hill Central short. Don't sell Kennett, who's in the top side of that bracket. Don't sell Blair Oaks. And I'm sorry, you know, Blair Oaks, this isn't their typical year, but they're still averaging over 40 points a game under Ted LePage, and they won the state championship last year. And that's so... You know, that left side of the bracket it is extremely tough. And then once again, that's why I really think, you know, and no disrespect to anybody on the right side, there's some terrific teams there. But I just think the left side of this Class 3 bracket is so loaded with, you know, St. Mary's Valley Catholic. You've got Blair Oaks. You've got Mountain Grove, who's had a terrific year this year. And they're going to get a Seneca team who just knocked off Aurora, who is the number one seed down, you know, down in the southwest corner. So I think there's a lot in play this week. And once again, some great games. But I know everybody's eyes that care about Class 3, they're going to be looking square at South City on Friday night at 7 o'clock for that matchup between Valley Catholic and St. Mary's.
Well, I know we'll have that on prepcast.com, so that's going to be a big one there. Now we got to move to Class 4. Once again, big-time matchups. I know Scott's not with us tonight. He's got a bit of food poisoning. He can't be with us, but he is calling this Vachon Union game. 8-1 Vachon versus 10-0 Union. The only loss for Vachon this year was to DeSmet. I mean, you can't really fault them for that. And Union is been good this year, but they have only won their last three regular season games by a combined 14 points. So a little bit of a slowdown for Union as that regular season wound down. What's your call on this one? And is Scott in for a good game?
I think Scott's going to see a great game, but the problem is, and this is the same thing, and I know everybody has heard me say this over the last 5-6 years. I love the PHL. I love the style of football that they play. The problem is they get to this point of the year, they haven't seen teams like they see in the district championship and in the quarterfinal and moving forward. That's why we haven't seen a PHL team move out of the district or move out of the quarter, because it's just it's a scheduling thing. And once again, it's nobody's fault. They have to play who they have to play in the PHL, you know, and that I get, I understand, but it doesn't get those kids battle ready to take on a team like Union. I remember the Gateway team from a couple years ago that was absolutely loaded. They had to go play Park Hill Central. What did Park Hill Central do? They beat them by, I think, 4 touchdowns. And, you know, that's what you see when you get this. I really like what Will Franklin's done. I look at the young coaches and I see what Will's done. I see what Jeremy Macklin did, is doing, because they still got one more game left. You know, they got Turkey Day coming up. You know what they've done, and I loved how the young coaches have embraced their roots from where they came from, and they're instilling that into their players. That's what Jay Mack did at Kirkwood, is doing. That's what Will's doing over at Vashon. I think it's going to be a great game. If I've got to give just a little bit of an edge, I got to give it to Union just because of that schedule, that strength of schedule. Yeah, they've only won games over the last couple of weeks by a few points. But you got to look, if you look at the head-to-heads on, you know, the teams that they're playing, Union's played a little bit more of a beefed-up schedule than Vashon right now.
That they have. And then you got MICDS and Parkway North. I got a chance to check out that MICDS team a couple times this year against Luther North and against Soldan on Saturday. And they're good. They've basically beaten teams that are all in district championship games. SLU, DeSmet, Luther North, Chaminade, they've beaten all of them. I was a little concerned about Reagan Andrew on Saturday. Very balanced quarterback, very solid, complete player. He struggled a little bit in the passing game on Saturday in that first half against Soldan. A couple of bad throws on my take on that one. Is that something that North can maybe attack in this game, or is Parkway North just overmatched?
Overmatched everywhere on the field. And once again, I think what they've done at North is terrific. I think they've had a great year. They're getting their kids in. Coach Oldenburg is getting his kids into that program, taking over for the legend Bob Bunton a couple years back. But I think Reagan Andrew just had a bad day, and I've seen him play for 2 years. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the St. Louis area, if not the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. I've said all year long, MICDS is the team to beat on the right side of the bracket in Class 4. When you look over on the other side, really the only team that I think has a shot against them would be West Plains, if West Plains can get through the bottom part of the left side. But I'm telling you right now, MICDS, they're picking up where they left off last year. They've got that chip on their shoulder, losing to Helias in the state championship game, in really a game that I thought they were going to win. They had every opportunity to, and there was a couple little mistakes here and there that kind of snowballed on them. You know, but I think Reagan Andrew is one of the top quarterbacks in the state. He's really impressed me with what he does offensively, and I think he's got the tools around him and the kids around him that they can get the state championship back here in Class 4 to St. Louis. And you know, Parkway North, if they can do a few things defensively to kind of trick them up a little bit, that's going to help them. But once again, you're playing at MICDS on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a packed house. It's going to be insane. And, you know, that's where, you know, you got to throw that stuff out the window. And MICDS is used to playing in that situation. And, you know, once again, if you're the Rams, and I know Fred Bouchard's not going to have them looking ahead. They're going to be looking straight at Parkway North. But, you know, you got a St. Tom Hayes-Wood East game. That's going to be a talented one. Then you look at the bottom side of that bracket. Smithville is playing some great football right now. I really think the Final Four is going to be West Plains. It's going to be Smithville. It's going to be MICDS. And I really think Hillsborough has a shot to make it to the state Final Four on the left side of the bracket. You know, they've got a big one against North County this week, which I had a chance to, follow along the first time those two teams played. And it was a knockdown dragout. So, you know, class four is just ridiculously good this year, but I really think MICDS is the cream of the crop.
Yeah, when they played Lutheran North, I mean, Andrew was just dropping dimes all over the place.
It oh my gosh, that was sick. They scored on their first eight possessions. And Lutheran North scored on their first four, and then finally MICDS got a couple interceptions. I mean, I was sitting here, you know, in my home office watching that game, and I'm just thinking they're going back and forth, going back and forth. Who's going to blink first? Well, MICDS's defense was able to finally get a big play, and that's what they needed at that point. And I really think that game kind of, you know, catapulted them a little bit because everybody knew that was going to be a big game. And that was the game that I kind of started seeing those that little doubt in Lutheran North with the yardage, how much they're giving up, and the points that they're giving up. And thinking this isn't what we normally see. And if they want to win class three, they've got to get that shirt up. Well, they kind of did a few things differently, but they're still giving up a boatload of yards. They're giving up a boatload of points. And it's, you know, they're doing it against good teams. And so, you know, MICDS kind of exploited some stuff, I think, on that day and was able to kind of take control of that game. And it was a great game. I mean, I sat here and enjoyed the first half of it. You know, but MICDS, I mean, the way Fred Bouchard's got them going, they haven't missed a beat over the last bunch of years, and it's good to see. And once again, throw three plays out last year in the state championship game, they're the defending champs in four. You know, and I know they're thinking about that, and they want that redemption tour to go back to Columbia this year.
And I think it will. I think you're right on that. Jumping to class five, you talked a little bit about Jackson. They're hosting Seckman this week. And you talk about that Hillsborough team. Jackson is the only team that has beaten Hillsborough this year. They also beat Ritter twice, which is weird because you don't usually see teams play two times in the span of 3 weeks. But that's a very impressive, I guess, matchup for Ritter, first off, and being in Jackson, being able to beat them twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, the first week was a COVID situation. The team that both ended up with bye weeks because of COVID. And so, you know, in the COVID era that we're in right now, it has not been out of the ordinary to see teams play each other twice. And so we saw it happen a bunch of times last year, and, you know, we saw it this year. And, you know, I was glad that they were able to work out a home and home. That way, you know, the kids from Ritter can go down and experience playing in probably the toughest place to play in the state of Missouri, if not the Midwest, at the Pit. You know, but Jackson is just playing Jackson football right now. You know, Brett Eckley, you know, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for building a program. We knew what he did at Montgomery County years ago. We knew what he did down at Union. Then he went down there. And I talk about, you know, why is Webb City so good? Why is Valley Catholic so good? Why are the Harrisonville so good? It's because they build programs. And what Brett's done down in Jackson is it's a program. Those fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth graders, when they get into the high school, when they walk the halls, they know exactly what to do at practice, how to do it. They know the playbook. They know everything that is expected of them. And that's why Jackson is so good. And that's why Jackson's going to continue to be so good. And, you know, they just do a terrific job. I am really excited. I think Seckman's had a great couple-year run and a great victory over Poplar. They're not going to know what hit them when they go down to the Pit. And I said this last Thursday night on my radio hit with Brendan Wiese on 550 KTRS. If you ever want to go see what real big-time high school football is all about, take the ride 90 minutes down 55 and go to Jackson. Check out just the atmosphere at the Pit. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I remember going down there a bunch of years ago when the Viani-Jackson rivalry was raging, you know, for through that 3-4 year stretch. You know, MICDS had to go through down there a couple times, you know, in their state runs, you know, back in the, you know, early 2010s. So it's a great place to play. I'm really anxious to see what Summit can do. Summit obviously has got to get past Eureka, which, you know, I think that game right there is the best game in the state of Missouri. Without any doubt, I think Summit and Eureka is going to be the best game in the state. Those two teams are so evenly balanced, but they're contrasting styles. You know, you've got a Summit team that they'll chuck it around a little bit and they hang their hat defensively. You've got a Eureka team. Hey, Jake Slemmer, you know what? They haven't forgotten their roots. They're going to pass it every now and then, but guess what? They're going to punch you in the mouth up front. They're going to try and run it between the tackles. They'll try and bounce it outside every now and then. And you know, that's going to be the game right there. First one that blinks, you know, and I really can't wait to see that game on Friday night. That is going to be an outstanding matchup in Class 5 that I think right now is wide open. You know, I think you've got your three. You've got Jackson in the top part. You've got Carthage. Then you've got Holdover on the other side. Whoever comes out below is going to be interesting. But then you look at that, you know, those top three. They've been the top three in the state all year long. And everybody says to me, well, Holt, you know, Holt did. I'm like, you guys don't understand how good Holt is. And I keep singing the praises. Anybody that's watched me on Fox 2 on Friday nights, I'm sorry. St. Charles football is phenomenal. And not enough people give that recognition to what they've done in the GAC out there. And, you know, you've got four schools that are going to battle this week for district championship. Well, three, because one matchup is going to have two GAC schools in it in Class 6. I mean, this is just a great, great brand of football out in St. Charles County. And Holt leading the way, Zumwalt North, we've seen it for years. You know, Troy, the year that they've had this year, and then Howell keeping they do what Howell does. You know, they just grind out victory after victory. And, you know, once again, I think Class 5 is up for grabs between three of those, you know, three teams. And it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
It really will. And I'm glad you brought up Holt, because I'm just like you. I think they're kind of a forgotten team in this whole mix, because they just continue to go. They beat Howell this year. And a lot of people don't give them that credit for being the only team that's beaten them. Why is it that they are forgotten? Is it just because of where they're kind of placed right now and who they play?
I think basically people just don't want to give the GAC the credit that they deserve. Everybody, you know, and I say this, and guess what? I'm calling people out on this. You know, people in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, that they live in this silo when it comes to high school football, and they don't want to venture across the river or down into Jefferson County and kind of see what else is out there. And I know with one of the things with Fox 2 that we've really made a concerted effort over the last 2 years is to make sure we're getting those St. Charles games in. We're getting some stuff down, you know, down in Jefferson County. And it's easy because we got, you know, the Barmerito Auto Group Sky Fox. You know, so we're able to pick up those games. But people don't understand how good a football there is. Yeah, Howell started the run 10 years ago when Brian Koch was the head coach. And, you know, Ford Zumwalt West had those terrific teams. But then everybody has started to catch on. They've started to figure out, hey, this is what we got to do. Troy did it. Timberland did it. You know, Holt's done it. Zumwalt North has done it. You look at what those five schools have done, you know, for the GAC. And then you throw St. Dom's in. St. Dom's has had a couple of really good runs over the last couple of years, you know, on the private school side. There's just great football out there. The kids believe it. And there's great coaching out there as well. And we talk about Zumi North and Joe Bacon. It's the same thing we just talked about with Jackson. It's the same thing. He's built a program, and the kids believe in what they're doing. And so I just think people need to get out of the silo and start understanding that we've got great football, a county over to the west and a county to our south, that are producing great, great athletes. And once we start getting that and they start, you know, people start seeing that, I think the credit will start to get there. But until then, I feel sorry, you know, for those people that don't want to catch that brand of football, because it's awesome. It's so much fun to watch.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, I went to Pattonville. I graduated from there. So I was kind of in that mold of like, okay, it's that group right there and whatever. But yeah, being out here in the St. Charles area, you start to see a lot of really, really good teams. And having the chance to cover Fort Zumwalt North a couple of years ago and some of these other schools around here, it does. It shows you that that brand of football is exactly what you want in high school football. And you're starting to see it because now some of these kids are getting recruited by teams, you know, Mizzou and some of these other big SEC schools as well. So you throw that in there and you can't ignore it for long.
And plus you look at what Coach Uritz has done up at Lindenwood.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody has this, Division II. No, Division II football is awesome. It's terrific. There's great talent there. I've had a chance to see it firsthand. I mean, it's a great brand of football. And for those schools to be doing it right in Lindenwood's backyard, I know coach is out there. And, you know, when you add a Mark Goldenberg to your staff to help out, you add, you know, a Corey Bethany to that coaching staff, guys that have local ties here in St. Louis, they're going to get those kids to buy in, to go over there. And I'm telling you, I'm excited for the future of Lindenwood football because of the high school football that's being played out in St. Charles County, because they're going to get those kids. And then you'll start to see the whole recruiting, you know, landscape kind of shift a little bit to where, you know, the Mizzou's of the world and you know, some of the other schools, the OVC schools, the Missouri Valley Football Conference schools. I do a lot of work with them still. And if I'm Bobby Petrino, you know, or I'm Nick Hill down at Southern Illinois, I'm living in St. Charles County at least twice a year just so I could see these kids and talk to these kids, because those kids will absolutely help their programs get to where they want to get and to get to that level that a North Dakota State is, that a South Dakota State is, and different things along those lines.
Now, I kind of wanted to, you kind of brought up something I wanted to talk about, Lindenwood specifically, and it's not so much about the football team, but it's more about the complex and the way that the state championships and stuff kind of work, how it's been down at Columbia, was over at Springfield for a little bit. What's the potential or possibility or the draw to maybe bringing something like maybe changing things up and bringing like a semifinal, a couple semifinals to the Lindenwood campus and things like that, to where you have, you know, obviously the St. Charles and St. Louis schools maybe play their semifinals there, and then you find a Kansas City or Columbia-ish school to play semifinals there before going to a Columbia and at Faurot Field. Is that something that maybe you could see in the future or even being discussed?
I would hope the discussion would have to go through the coaches' advisory meeting committee to start that ball rolling. I think the big issue is just the travel, because, you know, you look at this year, when you get to the semifinal, you know, it's the off year to where you're not going to have an all St. Louis semifinal, or you're not going to have an all Kansas City semifinal. You're going to have that crossover this year. I like the neutral site, but the problem is, are there enough hotels? Are there enough different things along those lines, amenities and things? I think that Lindenwood's got a terrific stadium. You know, I would love to see a neutral site semifinal game there, but I just don't know if the coaches want to go down that road right now. Now, once again, I think we've seen the baby steps with how Misha has done their playoffs. You know, we saw that god awful system that they had for so many years, where a 2-8 team could be the number two team in their district and make it into the state, into the bracket. At least now we're getting to a point to where you're making the playing field even, and you're getting the teams that deserve to be there. Now, I know everybody's kicking and screaming, why does Smitten CBC play in a state, in a district semifinal? Look at the geographic map, and Misha does a great job. If you go to the football page at Misha.org, and you'll see under district classifications, you'll see a map, and you'll basically see the pinpoints on where every team is. How are you not putting DeSmet and CBC in the same district? Do I think it stinks on years that they have both have really, really good teams and could contend for state championships? Absolutely. I think it stinks. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to send CBC out west to Kansas City? Are you going to, you know, send them into the crossover district? No. I mean, and that's where it kind of bothers me that people throw Misha under the bus under a lot of things. And you're pulling it up right here. There's your pins for class six. How else can you change it? You really can't. And it's the same thing, you know, same thing with St. Mary's Valley Catholic. If you go to class three and you look at how that district is and where that district layout is, how can you change putting St. Mary's and Valley Catholic not in the same district? And there it is right there. I mean, it's extremely tough. Misha has a tough job, but I think they've done a way better job than what we had a few years back. Now, Obviously, would I like to see more tweaks? Absolutely. Do I still think I'm the Illinois thing? Illinois playoff system is the best. I think it's one of the best out there in the country. You know, from Ohio, from where I'm originally from, you need a math major, you need an abacus, you need a computer program. They get it right, but you know, you need like three people on your football coaching staff just to understand what in the world goes into the rating system in Ohio. So with that being said, do I think that there could be some changes? I do, but I just don't know if we're ever going to see neutral sites come into play on the football side of things like we do in basketball. I'm just 100% not sure if we're going to see that ever take place for football just because of the amount of travel that would now really get into that mix.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, when you throw that into where you're going to have a St. Louis team versus maybe a Kansas City or a Columbia team in the semis, totally understand that. With it being high school athletics, you know, the less time you take these kids out of school, the better. Mm-hmm. So totally understand that. And you brought up Illinois real quick, and we got to touch on that. East St. Louis is in the quarterfinals right now. They got a tough one against Lamont. Now, they've been a great team. Coach Sunken's been there for 18 years. They got three state titles. Do they have a shot this year? I mean, they beat CBC week one, but I mean, it's a tough, tough class, really.
They should have been number one. I'm sorry. This is the best East St. Louis team that I've seen in my years of covering high school football.
Wow.
When they're playing and when they're hitting on all cylinders, we saw that, you know, in the middle of the season. We saw that really in the second half of the St. John Bosco game, you know, when they made the comeback and kind of made that game a little bit interesting. This team is as good as advertised. And once again, you punished this team for losing two games. Teams out of state. That was number two and number four in the country at the time that they played them. I don't agree with that. And that's where I think the Missouri side, what Missouri does is, you know, CBC gets class 6 points for playing East St. Louis. Because anytime you play an out-of-state school, you automatically get that point adjustment because they consider the out-of-state school class 6. And so I wish Illinois would look into that, especially in this case. Because East St. Louis should have been the one seed. I've been saying all year long that this is East St. Louis's championship to lose. And especially if they are hitting it on every cylinder, you know, I think they're going to beat Lamont. I know they got to go up there. I know it's going to be a roadie for them. But we also know what they're all about, what they've got. I mean, they're on a mission. I really think that they're going to take care of their business and bring the state championship back. But I just was really disappointed in IHSA when I got the early look at the bracket. And when I saw them number four, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I almost wanted to throw ethics out the window at that point and say, wait till you see this and know they're not the one seed. You know, but you know, you can't do that stuff because then, you know, you won't get the privy of having the early look and everything along those lines. So, but my gosh, they're just so good. Burden, I mean, anytime he touches the ball, he's got a chance to score. Whether it's a kickoff, a punt return, you know, fake punt, and then from the wide receiver position, you know, their quarterback has done a really nice job. This team, like I said, I really think this is one of the best St. Louis teams that I've covered, you know, since I moved here, and I really think they win. I think they'll take care of their – Lamont's the one that they got to beat. They beat Lamont, they're cakewalking the rest of the way to the state championship.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that game against CBC week one was just absolutely incredible. And
oh, yeah.
You look at it and you think, okay, that probably set CBC up for the run that they went on this year because they beat some really – I mean, they destroyed DeSmet in two matchups this year. They just walked through their entire – schedule for the most part, and they've got a SLU team coming up that's played well. I mean, their losses were pretty much the big three: MICDS, mm-hmm. DeSmet, and CBC themselves. So this could be a really, really good game. But you look at Class Six, and yeah, we have to look at the other side of the bracket as well. But is CBC, at least on this side, the best team in Missouri?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think everybody's kind of looking at CBC and Liberty North. You know, Liberty North is sitting on the bottom. Now, Liberty North, you want to talk about a team that's kind of been put on their heels a little bit. You know, the last couple of weeks, they've had the battle a little bit. And that's kind of made me kind of rethink my position on the bottom side of that bracket because, you know, Park Hill South is playing well. They actually got the one seed. You know, Liberty North and CBC were jockeying all year long, 1 and 2. And Park Hill South actually got the one seed in that district. And so that's going to be a matchup. Now, I know Howell is sitting back. You know, they've got Troy. That is going to be a big ball game because Troy pushed them to the brink in the regular season matchup. But here's the thing. If Park Hill South upsets Liberty North, Howell gets the home game. Oh. But if Liberty North wins and Howell beats Troy, Howell's got to go out west. You know, now you look at, you know, what CBC, you know, and I think Mike Jones has done a terrific job with the Junior Bills, and they knock off number 2 and number 3 in their district over the last couple of weeks. I mean, you know, where they're at and where they're positioned is really, really good. But the bottom line is Patrick Heidert is the big factor for this cadet team. We saw glimpses of it last year towards the end of the regular season when he's really got to start playing getting a lot of the snaps. And we really see it this year. And he's just not doing it with his arm. He's doing it with his legs. I mean, you know, they played somebody, I think it was the Smet, actually. He had 3 rushing touchdowns in that first matchup. I mean, this kid has grown into that Scott Pingle program and that offensive way that they do things. But you know what, though? The defense for CBC, you throw that East St. Louis game out the window. You look at what their defense has done since that point. I know Butch Dmitrovich is one of the best defensive minds in coaching in the Midwest. And the job he's done with this defense at CBC is just terrific. I think CBC, without a doubt, is going to make it through the top side because Lee Summit North and Joplin, that's a coin flip in my mind. But it doesn't matter the way CBC is playing. I'm more intrigued with the bottom side of that bracket with Howell, Troy, Park Hill South, and, you know, Liberty North. Who's going to make it out of there? I mean, could we see an All-St. Louis final? Absolutely we could. And boy, would I personally love to see CBC and Howell go at it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a phenomenal game because, you know, just the rivalry between the two. And, you know, the differences between the two, I think that would be a fun championship game. But you've got some work to do. And there's still, you know, that Final Eight is a pretty doggone impressive Final Eight in the state of Missouri in the Class 6 side.
It sure is. And, you know, you look at it and you go, you don't recall CBC, Francis Howell playing a whole lot of games against each other. So anytime they get together, that's a game to watch for sure.
The way they've played over the last 10, 11 years, absolutely. And when you look at Class 6 over the last 10, 11 years, Howell, CBC, Kirkwood, DeSmet, those 4 teams. Hasn't changed. Has not changed much at all over the last 10, 11 years. And it's not going to change this year.
Oh, my. All right, well, we're going to leave football aside because we got a couple more things to talk about. You said you were down last week at Cape for the Girls Volleyball Championships. Just a quick note on those. My sister actually is assistant coach for St. Dominic, so she was down there as well. They had a ridiculously tough matchup against Koryezu, and you know Koryezu obviously takes the title up there in Class 4, and it's their first title since you know early 2000s at the end of their three-peat, and they kind of look like they're back to that Koryezu style of play where it's kind of eat, sleep, dream volleyball. They look really good. Are they poised to just be dominant for a couple of years now?
Got to remember, this team's a bunch of juniors, too. Yeah. They're really good. I mean, you know, St. Dom's has got a great team. And, you know, I knew that was going to be a great matchup in the semifinal. But I'm telling you right now, Koryezu is just – I mean, they're so fundamentally sound. That's the thing. You know, and they have a bunch of kids from Rockwood, from the Thunder program. And all they do is win. I mean, all they do is win in the summer. All they do is win in the winter. And you know, you look at how they played, and I really thought that match was going to be a heck of a lot closer. I was really thinking personally that we were going to go 5 in that one, mm-hmm. You know, but Koryezu just came out and you know, their serve receive was just so good early on. And then obviously, you get those outsides with those heavy arms swinging away. And they were just wearing people down at that point. So, you know, I think Corriezzi is poised to, you know, definitely next year, you know, with this group that's going to be a bunch of seniors. But I think, once again, you're starting to see that group once, you know, we saw them back in the early 2000s, kind of a little bit of a breather. Now we're going to see that group again. And I'm telling you right now, volleyball in the St. Louis side of things is so ridiculously good. And that's why you see a Westminster team win their class. I mean, once again, they got some big swingers on the outside. They get great defensive play from their liberos. And that's how they were able to take care of their business. And once again, that was another one that I really thought was going to go five sets. But Westminster came out and just absolutely got, you know, did everything they wanted to do and was able to get the victory. So, you know, you look at the St. Louis area volleyball-wise, you get two state champions in the big classes. You get Nerick's Hall, you know, St. Dom's that, you know, made it down there as well. I mean, it was just a great weekend for the St. Louis area when it comes to, you know, comes to the girls volleyball. And I'm excited about it. And the crowds down there were just unbelievable. I mean, St. Dom's brought a, you know, unbelievable group. And you know, you look at Corriezzi, you look at Westminster. I mean, it was just a lot of fun to be in a packed house like that for a state championship.
Well, and it's now the days of, you know, it being just Francis Howell and Lafayette up here are gone. It's spread out. You're seeing talent everywhere. And once again, it just goes back to what you were talking about in football. Programs and building from young ages and feeding into these systems. And it seems like St. Louis is doing it the right way.
Well, you look at, you know, we mentioned Rockwood Thunder, you know, the program that they've got. You got high, you know, you got HP, the program that they got, the new facility that's opening up out in Chesterfield. That's got to have the volleyball courts and the basketball courts. And that's the investment. That's what has to happen to keep these kids engaged and to get them, you know, in front of people that they need to play in front of and to get that valuable experience and different things along those lines. So, you know, that's the great thing. I mean, we're starting to get the facilities here in the St. Louis area that we desperately need. What Dan Buck has done with Powerplex, I think, has started the ball rolling. The new facility out in Chesterfield is going to be phenomenal. Is going to be phenomenal. I mean, you know, once again, you get that snowball going. You get these kids, you know, you get them going and doing the things that they love to do. We're going to start seeing it when it comes to the high school side of things and then obviously moving on to the next level.
Most definitely. I get a chance to do PA for UMSL volleyball on Friday night. So I'm looking forward to doing that and seeing that their program for sure.
No doubt.
Real quickly, boys soccer is going on right now. Are we going to see potential back-to-back champions with Jackson in class 4 and Zumwalt South in class 3? Or do you see any team that's really maybe going to give them a challenge?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, obviously Jackson's got to get past Marquette. Marquette just knocked off CBC. So you can't take Marquette out of the mix right now. You know, Burroughs got a nice win as well. You know, so, but, you know, you always look at Rockhurst. They're so good every year. So I'm not going to be totally sold that, you know, Jackson's going to walk their way through. I think this bracket of 8 is really talented, very deep. The weather is going to be chilly next weekend. I've already started looking because I'm going to be out there for 2 days. So, you know, Ms. Powers didn't raise no dummy. I'm already looking at the 10-day and the 14-day. Looks like it's going to be a little chilly, but we're not going to have any rain or snow or anything along those lines. But this is a really, really deep, you know, class 4 side of things. And then I'm telling you, Zumwalt South, you know, you got to be careful because you look who they're going to play. The Army is back. The 026 Army at Rockwood Summit is making the return. And you know, they're a scary team to play. Melville, the way they're scoring goals right now, you know, they're as talented of a team that I've seen in a while. And when you say Melville, you're like, wait a second, Gary Heidi football? No, wait a second, were we talking football or soccer? No, their soccer team's really good. And they've been good. They're getting a lot of those South County kids, you know, that live and breathe soccer. And we're seeing that. Now, Ledoux's going to give them a little bit of a struggle. Towards the end of the week. But once again, I think that bracket in 3 is just brutal. And then, you know, St. Mary's, I had a chance to see them play earlier this year. I think St. Mary's is good. I'm just not sold that they can get past either Logan's Rogerville or Excelsior Springs in the top side of the bracket. Whitfield, you know, has a good shot. But once again, I think you can roll the dice on any of those eight and see who will come out. And then I think in Class 1, I had a chance to see St. Pius 10 out of Festus. Them, Lutheran St. Charles, Borgia. I think we could see an all St. Louis final there. I just don't know if the outstate teams can hang in Class 1 with any of those three, you know, right there, because, you know, they're big. I mean, when you see a St. Pius player, you see a Lutheran St. Charles team play, you know, you're saying, okay, they're Class 1. No, these kids play at a level of Class 4, and they're bigger. The type of soccer that they play, you know, they attack a lot. They've got great goalkeeping. So, you know, I like the locals' chances in Class 1. I think we could see an all St. Louis final there, which I'm hoping for.
Oh, same here. I mean, you see the talent because you see what St. Louis City SC drew for their U16, U17 teams as well. You're seeing a lot of these local kids being part of that. So it's just seeing that spread out through all the classes in the St. Louis area is another feather in the cap for sure.
You know, my hope is once they get the stadium built, Misha and the Taylor family can come to an agreement to play those state championships downtown St. Louis. I think that will, number one, it's going to help the state of soccer here in the state of Missouri. You know, and here's the thing, what everybody has to understand. There's a reason why Misha they can't play at the soccer facility out in Kansas City. Their soccer facility is actually right across the state line.
Oh, that's right. It is.
So you got to remember that it's a great facility, but it's just across the state line. And so technically, it's in Kansas. You can't play a Missouri high school championship out of the state.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
Because a lot of people were asking me when the whole transition with baseball, and I'll use baseball as the example, Carshield Field, mm-hmm. and well, why can't we go over to GAC? You know, GAC's got a terrific, you know, terrific setup, just like, you know, Carshield Field. It's over in Illinois. You can't do it. And that. So, you know, but my hope is to really build what soccer is all about in the state of Missouri is to be able to play those games in downtown St. Louis. You know, hopefully Misha and the Taylors and everybody can come to an agreement and not charge what the Dome was charging Misha for the football championship, which was just absolutely unbelievable. And help grow the game. And I really think we're going to see that. I mean, my gut tells me by 2025, we could very well see the state championships, at least either the fall or spring, being played down at the new facility.
I think you're 100% right on that. It just seems like everything is pointing in that direction for sure. All right, we got a couple more minutes, and we got to talk a little bit about high school basketball. I mean, obviously, we don't know a whole lot because it's still 4 weeks away, but what are some of the teams that you're looking at in really any of the classes on both sides, men's and women's, that we need to kind of look out for this year? You got to have your stalwarts, obviously, but there's going to be some surprise teams this year.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some surprise teams. Obviously, just with football and everything else going on, I haven't even dug into basketball stuff yet. That will be probably the week of Thanksgiving when I'll actually start doing a deep dive. Because I've got to get ready for the Norm Stewart Classic, which is, you know, so glad that that's going to be back this year. Some great matchups. We'll see Link Academy from down at Branson in a couple matchups. Vashon's going to be playing out there. I mean, you look at the normal suspects. Vashon's going to be really good. You know, Tony Irons has got a great group coming back. And when you look at last year's team, they were still on the young side. Yeah, you know, Kern was a senior. They had a couple others, but, you know, a lot of the playing time was being divvied out to a bunch of sophomores and juniors. So this Fajon team is going to be really, really good. Chaminade, yeah, they lost their two big guns that went down the Link Academy down in Branson. But, you know, Frank just does such a great job, Coach Bennett. And, you know, I think they're going to be a team to beat. CBC is going to be – the MCC this year is just absolutely loaded. You know, Kent Williams at the Smets got, you know, his crew back. You know, be careful for Webster Groves. You know, I think Enhart is a great guard. I think he can do a lot of things, and boy, can he shoot the ball. You know, on the girl's side, it's Incarnate Word's world and everybody just lives in it. You know, when you've got, you know, you've got that cast of characters coming back from last year. I mean, remember, there was only two seniors on that team last year. Natalie Potts was only a sophomore. And I think Natalie Potts, I made this comment last year and I had a couple people say, you got to be out of your mind. I'm not out of my mind. I've seen the Fisha play. I've seen Brittany Carter play. I've seen a lot of those girls. I think Natalie Potts, when all is said and done, her name is going to be in that conversation with those names of the great players that have graduated from Incarnate Word. She is a terrific player. She does so many great things. You know, just, you know, big thing, obviously, is you got to stay healthy. The way they, you know, the schedule that they have, it's a meat grinder. You know, but I think they're going to be really talented. Webster Groves is going to, you know, Josh Spool's going to have another great team again this year. They lost a couple of their big ones to graduation last year, but they've got a lot coming back. So you got to keep your head on a swivel with them. And then you look, you know, at the Rockwood Summits of the world. I think Dustin Hayes has got a good group coming back. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see on the basketball side. I think you're going to see the traditional names there. But if we get a chance to talk again in January, I think we're going to see that some of those untraditional names are starting to kind of sneak in there a little bit and make some noise like Melville did a couple of years ago. You know, so that's kind of where I'm looking at right now. Once again, just now starting to kind of get into basketball mode a little bit, you know, after a long football season and soccer and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll start doing some deep dives into that. And one of the cool things that I'm doing right now as well is I'm doing some writing for SB Live Missouri. It's a brand new high school site. Chris Janoski, a good buddy of mine out in Kansas City, is writing. John Walker from up in the Northwest Missouri state area. You know, we're really going to be doing a lot of different things when it comes to previews and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be probably over the next couple of weeks. We'll start doing some deep dives into basketball previews.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have to definitely link to that because, yeah, that's the one thing I tend to not see a whole lot of are those basketball previews. I mean, you see them in STL Today, but outside of that, it's kind of rare that you see, you know, the previews for high school sports, but good to hear that we're going to get angles from not just the local area, but from around the area as well. So, Jim, where else can we find you? I mean, you've already mentioned your 550 hit. You've already mentioned Fox 2. Where else can we find you?
You're a busy guy. That's it. No more. No boss. No. I mean, you know, Thursday nights from 8 to 9 on 550 with Brendan Weesey. We've got a great partnership, and me and Brendan have known each other for years from the old 590 days. And so – he's doing great things up there, and they want to, you know, Turkey Day will be on 550 again this year.
Nice.
You know, after having last year off, which I walked around on Thanksgiving kind of twirling my thumbs because I didn't know what to do, we're going to be able to get back. It'll be my 11th Turkey Day that I've broadcasted, so I'm really excited about that. Then Fox 2 every Friday night, 10:10, me and Charlie trying to not make each other laugh while we're, you know, while I'm in his ear, because I'm still doing the show from here at home in my home office, and he could still hear me. And so I try to make him laugh every chance I get, but they, you know, they shut my mic off until we're ready to go. So, but no, we're having a lot of fun with that. And Michaela McGee has been a terrific addition, to what we're doing at Fox 2. And then obviously with this new website, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. It's just not it's not 24/7. It's not max preps. You know, it's not going to be a bunch of rankings and stuff like that. It's going to be a lot more content driven when it comes to, you know, some lists like the best point guards in the state, you know, rivalries. I'm going to be doing a lot of video interviews with coaches and players from around the state of Missouri. So, it's going to be an exciting website. They just broke into the Midwest over the summer and really starting to gain some traction here in Missouri. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, be able to, if you follow me on Twitter or, you know, on my Facebook page, you'll see a lot of the content that's going to be thrown up there.
That sounds great. Yeah, we'll definitely link to that when those pop up, because like I said, we got to get the content out there, because high school sports, it's still in our lifeblood, still a little undercovered, I think. And personally,
I agree 100%.
So, you know, the more we can get it out there, the better. And just being able to get these athletes not just the covers that they deserve, but, you know, when we do interviews with them, like you're going to be doing, it's preparing them for the next step. If they're moving into athletics in college and maybe even beyond, getting them those interview skills, getting them in front of the camera so that they're comfortable with it. So when they do move on, they're ready and they're prepared, and we can help them do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you hit it on the head. And I still don't believe that there's enough high school coverage in the St. Louis. I don't think there's enough coverage nationally. I think that, you know, I hate to say it, I think ESPN's trying, but I think they're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. I hate watching signing days where those kids are just sitting at a table and they're cringing because they don't know what to say or they don't know what to do. I mean, we've seen the mother walk off the set after her son, you know, everybody saw that. I think there's ways that it can be done and done the right way. And so, you know, what we're going to do here in St. Louis and around the state is we want to shed the positive lights because these kids deserve it. They work too hard. The coaches work too hard. And we want to make sure we're giving these kids and these coaches their due because they deserve it. They've worked hard. And whatever we can do to shine the light on those guys and girls, that's what it's all about. And that's been my life for so many years is, you know, promoting high school sports. Even when I was coaching back in Ohio, I was still, you know, doing media stuff. And, you know, I wanted to make sure we were promoting the kids the right way. And it carried over here to Missouri. And I've been very fortunate to be able to do that.
You've done a great job, and we always appreciate having you on. And yes, we will definitely have you on at least by January to talk about basketball. But it's good to see you out of the office and in your home office, because the last time we talked to you, I think you were sleeping in your office. So
yeah, that was spring, and yeah, I had the air mattress. It was all good. And so no, I mean, it's glad that we're back to some semblance of normal, and that. So, but no, it's been great, and you know, a lot of great things going on and a lot of playoff games this week. The weather's going to be nice. Get out and watch some of these kids play. They deserve it. And you know, cheer them on and have a little bit of fun.
Awesome. Well, Jim, once again, we appreciate it. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll catch up in the future.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. Tell Scott, give him my best.
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
As Jim Powers, a high school guru here in Missouri, really. Just an incredible insight, so much knowledge. It's always great having him on. And once again, we want to remind you, Wednesday night, we will be back. Scott will be back with us. We'll be talking about the Cardinals, especially the Gold Glove victories, the awards that current players and former managers are up for. Talk a little bit about the Blues as well, and anything else that may break. I think we're going to have to talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers as well. So make sure you join us on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock here on the Tavern. That's going to do it for us. Lots of information tonight. Make sure, as Jim said, to get out and watch these high school athletes participate, not just in football. I mean, if you get a chance to go out and see some of these soccer matchups as well, do that. Get yourself ready for basketball season as well. We'll get the information for the website that Jim will be writing for and doing interviews for as well up on our page, so you can follow that as well. You guys have a great night. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Hey, it's you, man, here from Casey. For all your sports news, catch the Toasted Tavern with Scott Tobin and the man called Wags weeknights at 9 p.m. You can follow Toasted Tavern on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Let's get toasted.